Next Tuesday, Israeli voters will head to the polls for a general election, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been using right-wing tactics to save his re-election campaign. This week, he outlined plans to annex part of the occupied West Bank if he wins the election, and in one of his go-to pre-election strategies, many Israeli voters received a message from Netanyahu's campaign on Facebook claiming, quote, "Arabs want to annihilate us all." Netanyahu's relationship with the United States also appears to be on shaky ground now that one of his closest allies in the White House, John Bolton, is out of office. So lots to talk about in the lead up to next week's election, and Noga Tarnopolsky is here to do that. She's a freelance journalist based in Jerusalem. Thanks for being with us, Noga.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So the significance of Netanyahu's West Bank annexation announcement, I mean, is he, dare I ask, is he serious about this, or is this part of the campaign strategy?
Well, I don't think one contradicts the other, but I just have to make it clear. Netanyahu actually made a surprisingly modest statement, I would say, and it was clearly directed at his right-wing base. But what's interesting is that he didn't flat out promise to annex. What he said is, if I get your mandate, I promise to make a policy move towards annexing. It wasn't that kind of I'm going to do this statement. It was, this is what I want to do if I have your support statement.
Let's talk a little bit about the reaction to this. What's been the Trump administration's response so far, if any?
The Trump administration has caused Netanyahu many, many headaches in the last 24 hours. And until now, the Trump administration has basically been Netanyahu's best friend. I mean, to the extent that he put up a campaign poster 7 stories high showing him shaking hands with Donald Trump. And the Trump administration has really had no comment since he made the statement. The State Department put out a very small statement just saying that U.S. policy vis-a-vis the West Bank hasn't changed. And since then, Netanyahu has been forced to, you know, deny widespread reports, including quoting Trump himself, saying that the United States is seeking a meeting with the Iranian president. Today, there's been a story about former intelligence officials, American intelligence officials, accusing Israel of actually spying on Trump administration figures, and Netanyahu has been forced to deny that. So his best friend, I would say, has been giving him little support lately.
And we also know that the Russian Foreign Ministry released a statement saying that, quote, Netanyahu's announcement on West Bank annexation is likely to deteriorate the region. And Netanyahu is on his way to Sochi meeting with Vladimir Putin. What's his agenda? How does this square with the Russian Foreign Ministry's announcement?
I don't know is the truth, but Netanyahu so far got a lot of international reaction from his statement, and it's been across the board condemnation. So the State Department more quietly, the Russian Foreign Ministry a little more loudly. Netanyahu says he's on his way to meet Putin because they want to discuss security arrangements in Syria, where Iran has made huge gains and really has basically set up military bases on Israel's northern border. But we are 5 days before the election, so I think it's pretty clear to every observer that this is an electoral move, and Netanyahu is trying to remind the Israeli voters that he has diplomatic cred. We also don't know if Netanyahu's plea to kind of the heart-right base in terms of his promise to annex part of the West Bank is going to work, because the hard-right base has heard this from Netanyahu on many occasions and ahead of many elections, and he's never gone ahead and done it.
Of course, we'd have to also ask about the reaction from Palestinian leaders and Arab settlers to this announcement.
Well, the Palestinian government slammed it, but I think that reaction was expected. And what was much more significant, I think, was a strong statement from Saudi Arabia slamming Netanyahu's promise. And Saudi Arabia is a country that, again, the United States has advanced as an Arab nation that is, you know, inching towards recognizing Israel. And here you saw an Israeli prime minister not actually even do anything, but just make an electoral promise and get slammed by, across the board, the people who he's trying to claim are his diplomatic success stories. And so we're seeing a politician really running for his life, I'd say.
I mean, right, to say the least, he's struggling in this re-election campaign. I want to pivot here for a minute to what he's been doing in terms of reaching out to that far-right base that you mentioned. I mean, he sent a message on Facebook attacking Arab voters on behalf of his campaign. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a really important point. Netanyahu has run brazenly, openly racist campaign. Anti-Arab incitement every single day. His tweets today, the appalling Facebook bot chat yesterday, which basically used language that in Hebrew is really only used to describe Holocaust situation. So it said that Arabs want to annihilate us all, women, children, and men. Especially Israeli Arab leaders responded immediately, some with mockery and some furiously. Surprisingly, there was very little defense. So his party blamed the message on, quote, a staffer's error, but that was it. And you didn't really hear ministers or anyone else coming to his defense. And they seem to have taken a tiny step back today. In other words, there haven't been appalling statements yet, but he did. Netanyahu already issued a tweet today saying that if he doesn't get reelected, it's going to be, this is a quote, a lefty Arab government.
And of course, adding to Netanyahu's troubles, I suppose, is the fact that President Trump fired his third national security advisor, John Bolton, just this week. He was a close ally of Netanyahu's within the Trump administration. Now, of course, Noga, we know that the Trump administration has been extremely supportive of Netanyahu and of Israel. But does Bolton's firing have any impact on Netanyahu and the relationship with the United States going forward?
Absolutely. Bolton had become, over the last year and a half since his appointment, the top Israeli contact in the White House, and losing him is a very major blow. Bolton's departure has been met with silence and shock in Israel. I think it's important to mention that less than a week before Bolton's firing was announced, on September 3rd, Netanyahu and his ambassador to the United States announced publicly that they were planning for a tripartite summit in Jerusalem with the Russian National Security Advisor, John Bolton, and their Israeli colleague. There's one other thing I think we need to add, which is Netanyahu is running for re-election, but so is Donald Trump. What has been interpreted as sort of clearly pro-Israeli moves on the part of the Trump administration have been moves aimed at shoring up Trump support among evangelical voters in the United States who define themselves as very pro-Israel. And the issues that the Trump administration has addressed relating to Israel are very closely aligned with the issues that are top priorities for the evangelical voters. And what we're seeing now, in fact, is that Israel, or at least the Israeli prime minister, seem to have a lot less importance than fulfilling those demands made by, you know, evangelical voter bloc. And I think we're seeing two elections at play.
And Noga, we've been talking about the sort of desperate last minute moves that Netanyahu is making and the very difficult week or two that he's found himself in. But does that signal, you're on the ground in Jerusalem, does that signal potential defeat?
I mean, I think the facts show us that Netanyahu is sort of running against the wind right now. He really barely scraped by in April. He didn't get any more votes than his opposition did. He was selected by the president to form the next government because he seemed to have more coalition allies. He has been struggling in the polls. In the only public polls we have access to, he has been struggling. You see a lot of apathy. I did kind of street interviews around Jerusalem yesterday among people in their 20s. And I have to tell you that, like, at least half of them just laughed when I asked them if they even planned to vote. And this is right-wingers and kind of apolitical people, I would say, who just feel sick of the whole electoral rigmarole. So if Arabs come out to vote the way their leaders say they will, and if the majority Jewish population stays home significantly, Netanyahu will have an almost impossible time winning the election. That's not the only scenario. He could win this, and if he does, on October 2nd and 3rd, he faces formal judicial hearings in which he will be presented with all the evidence for his upcoming indictments on corruption charges. So he faces a very steep hill, I would say, no matter how you look at it.
Noga Tarnopolsky is a freelance journalist based in Jerusalem. Noga, thank you so much.
Thanks to you, Tanzina.